Hello and welcome once again to my podcast, Discover the Hidden Potential of Your Mind. My name is Angelica and I'm here with my friend and fellow coach and co-facilitator, Patrick Ryan. And I'm so thrilled that we're doing this podcast together, Patrick.
Well, me too. I'm really excited and thank you for inviting me.
So on this episode today, we would like to talk about the one topic that we're both really passionate about.
Relationships.
Right. So we practice doing this together. Patrick and I
still need more practice, right?
We need some more practice, I think so too. So Patrick and I have known each other actually for a long time, for 12 years,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So we originally met 12 years ago when we both took our first Psyche training. And for those of you who are wondering what that is, Psyche is a very effective and efficient method to change our beliefs at a subconscious level. So if you're interested, contact one of us. And since then, we've taken many different trainings and become workshop facilitators ourselves. We have both been teaching on a variety of subjects about relationships and
emotional intelligence, communication skills, stress management, trauma resolutions.
Right, subconscious belief changes, releasing emotions, and I've worked with messages in our dreams or integrating our shadow parts and so on. It's a long list, really, of the different things we have taught. And we've decided to team up to share with you our combined knowledge and experience about fulfilling and successful relationships.
Yeah, because we have learned some of the same coaching technique, and but some also different. So together we have this toolbox of the overflowing with gifts for anybody who wants to improve or even co-create or heal their relationships. These include long-term romantic relationship, of course, but also relationships with our children or parents or other family members, relationship with friends even, and last but not least, work relationships.
Right. So today we would like to take a look at some key ingredients to meaningful relationships, and that means personal as well as professional ones. Because when you look at life is all about relationships. We can literally not exist without relationships. Between you and anyone or anything, there's a relationship. And I bet that most of our audience would agree with us that our relationships can be the source of greatest happiness, but they can also be a source of great heartache and pain.
Yeah.
Right. So we've got a couple of questions for you. The first one is, what constitutes happiness for you?
And where do your personal and professional relationships rank when it comes to happiness and success?
Right. So we would like to invite you to consider that creating a relationship is like preparing a great dish. I wonder if there's cooks out there, people who love to cook. Because there's certain basic ingredients that every relationship needs. And without those ingredients, you don't have an edible dish or relationship at all. And then on top of those components, there's other ingredients or so-called spices that you could add to make a relationship better or to individualize it to taste and requirements, because we're, of course, all individuals.
Yes, and everybody has different criteria for what makes typically a happy relationship or successful relationship. So some people are comfortable with a certain amount of friction, or even enjoy playful arguments as they find it stimulating. Other people strive for more harmony and less conflict.
Right.
That would be me.
Yes, I hear you. And you're making a really good point there about the arguments, because Dr. John Gottman, who's a relationship expert and author of books on how to make your marriage work, he has proven in all his research that it's not the argument itself that's the problem in a relationship, but how the couple argues determines whether a relationship will last or not.
Yes, and we also differ in the amount of communication that we need. Like some people like to have open and vulnerable talks, you know, every day. Others are more kinesthetic and prefer less words and more silent communication through touch. So our goal here is not to tell you what is a good relationship, but to help you define what constitutes happiness for you and how your personal and professional relationship can be improved based on your own criteria.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and I find studies on happiness really fascinating. And there's a 75-year-long Harvard study on happiness. And that study has shown that happiness and living a healthy long life are not about wealth or fame or working harder, right? Sometimes that's what we think. But what keeps us happy and healthy are actually good relationships. That means if I'm in a relationship where I feel lonely and unsupported, that is actually detrimental to my health. So when we're in a relationship with little affection or with toxic interactions, that stress and that loneliness shortens our life. However, living in the midst of good, warm relationships, that's protective for us. It even affects our physical pain positively. We feel less pain in such a warm, happy relationship. It protects our brains from decline. Happy couples have experienced that their memories stay sharper longer.
Yeah, it's
fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. And it reminds me of this other study that has been done in Okinawa, Japan. Some researchers gained some very interesting understanding of what supports longevity and health. So they examined about 900 centenarians. You know, this is one country where they have many
people who are 100,
right,
yeah.
And more. So these elderly people, they have, you know, interviewed like 70 in the people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. And the one they were over 100 years are still physically active, and they're playing and even working for some of them. So the healthy mind and healthy body. What is really interesting is that they observed that these elderly Japanese people all experience a strong sense of connection to their community. It's basically the glue, you know, that keeps them happy and healthy, and the long-lasting relationship that they have forged. They're laughing. I saw that YouTube video, and you know, they always have a lot of humor, and they're mm-hmm. laughing, and they mm-hmm. know each other well.
Right.
They have that glue, you know. So, in other words, caring, loving, happy relationship are what human needs and thrive on.
Right, yes. So let's get back to our cooking metaphor from the beginning. What are some of the most important ingredients for relationship success?
Well, some of you might say communication skills.
Right. And in our workshops, we will, of course, teach you successful communication skills. Other people we've talked about arguments earlier, right? They might think of conflict management as an important skill.
Yeah, and these are some elements we're going to teach you also of how to handle conflicts at home and at work. Yet again, a third person might say, well, our emotional intelligence is a crucial factor.
Right, and we definitely agree. Because we believe that courage and practice is required to feel and allow real emotional connections. It's not always that easy. Well, and then maybe a fourth person might point out that the actual willingness to work through an issue is an important or crucial requirement.
Yes, and we both wholeheartedly agree that usually relationship success occurs when both parties are willing to put the work in. So important, because sometimes, you know, we blame the other, we don't take responsibility, and we need to come back on that. But you know,
right,
it's like, okay, I do the work and the other one is more lazy. So important to both really involved and completely immersed into that work.
Absolutely. And at different times during your relationship, one person might do more of the work, but as long as it changes and it stays in balance, that both people are willing to do the work, that's mm-hmm. that's what we need. I do want to comment though that even one person who's willing to change can affect shifts in a relationship. So if we're not necessarily talking about our intimate partner, but we're talking about a work relationship or another family relationship. If I'm willing to change myself, my own triggers, how I respond, how I react, what's going on for me internally, that totally affects a shift and change in the relationship. And what we will teach you in our workshops is to have a growth mindset for all your relationships, and also to turn that working on the relationship, that sounds so serious, but to turn that into something that's actually fun and playful.
Yes, because humor and being able to celebrate successes in our relationships are two more ingredients that makes a whole difference between a bland meal or bland relationship and a really pleasurable and enjoyable one.
Right, yes, celebrating, that's fun. Okay, so creating these empowering, fulfilling, and pleasurable relationships actually begins with self-awareness, with creating a compassionate and loving relationship with ourselves.
It's the base of everything.
Right, because the more we understand ourselves, that means our past traumas that we've experienced, our triggers in relationships, what sets us off, and the more we learn how to address when we're emotionally activated, the more we become relationship savvy. So different relationship skills are of course important. The willingness to make a relationship work is again another important ingredient. And there's one ingredient specifically that we want to elaborate on a little bit more today, right, Patrick?
Yes.
And that is heart openness or heart-centeredness. And that heart openness makes a tremendous difference in all our relationships. And that's not just in our intimate love relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to explain a little bit what we mean by heart-centeredness or heart openness?
For sure. You know, science has proven that the electromagnetic field of the heart is 60 times stronger than the electromagnetic field of our brain. So the heart emits some frequency that has an effect on people, on things, on everything. It's the most powerful organ in our body. And it was formed in the womb, you know. It is really the core of our being. So, you know, we say our heart is our second brain, but some people said it's our first brain.
Right.
It has even its own intelligence, and it think, feel, even remember. So basically, we're constantly scanning or our surrounding. You know, we're always evaluating what's going on around us. That's by default. For life-threatening events or evidence of a potentially threatening situation. So if we want to really be in the space of positive heart frequency, allowing us to bring more love, greater joy, or better health and more abundance, well, we need to be able to trust and feel good with our partner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then this electromagnetic field of our heart allows us to resonate with the other people. So when we are in a loving heart space or in a state of appreciation and gratitude, then we send out these powerful electromagnetic signals to those around us. And those signals, as you mentioned before, that if one is willing to do the work, you know, it has an effect on the other. And it goes in the same way, because it goes with the alignment of your heart frequency. The signals are basically have a direct influence and are measurable in the brain of the other person.
Yeah, that's fascinating, isn't it? So,
indeed.
When we're in that heart coherence, it's called, when our thoughts and feelings are aligned with our heart, we are less reactive, able to think more clearly, and we're able to solve problems from the more advanced parts of our brain instead of those primitive reptilian responses of fight, flight, or freeze. So learning heart coherence is an important part of our relationship workshops, because nobody teaches us how to do this. We learn how to use our brain, but nobody shows us how to use our heart and be in that space.
And when we mean heart coherency, we mean being in alignment with our energy and our thoughts.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we also, talking about what we haven't learned, we also often haven't learned how to communicate successfully. Instead, we have learned to talk and often react in a defensive way. And of course, our defensive behaviors are, in general, destructive, and they prevent us from building healthy, loving relationships or growing them. So Patrick and I would like to demonstrate how differently an interaction unfolds when you when you communicate from an open heart.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yes. And we've got our two accents going on here too, yes. Right? The German accent and the French accent. Mm. So we're going to demonstrate how differently an interaction unfolds when we can communicate from an open heart and when we're willing to make five commitments. And we're going to elaborate on those five commitments after our demonstration. We're going to pretend to be siblings. Patrick is going to be my brother, and there's an issue that needs to be resolved. And of course, the same principles we're going to model apply to romantic relationships or professional relationships. All right, here we go. Hi, nice to finally see you here. It seems like you had a nice long vacation.
Well, yeah, but it was only 10 days, actually.
Right, for the third time this year. I wish I had the money and time to go on luxurious vacations like you.
Well, why don't you make time then?
Great, and who would take care of Mum while I'm away? Certainly not you. You've never been that responsible.
Stop nagging. I'm not a child anymore, and you don't have to treat me like one.
Well, I have to nag to get you to take responsibility for anything. Have you fixed Mum's dishwasher yet?
No, I didn't have time.
Great. So her dishes pile up for me to do because with her arthritis in her hands and in her wrists, she can't do them. You never help take care of her. I've got other things on my plate too. I can't constantly be your only caretaker.
Oh, come on. She's fine. Stop worrying so much about her. No need to always be so dramatic.
That really gets the system going, right? That gets your heart rate beating faster.
That's right.
Gets you heated up.
You probably know many people who are like that typically and are in the habit of being that way. It's sometimes hard to get out of it. But it's really important to realize, okay, maybe that's not a healthy way to exchange and to have a good, soothing relationship. So that's what we want to do next, is to show you a different approach.
All right. So this is not a conscious choice to be this way, but it's something that's familiar. And being angry with each other often feels better than being vulnerable, because underneath all that anger and defensiveness, there's, of course, a lot of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
So, but let's replay this by approaching each other with an open heart. So, just taking a moment to drop down into the heart. Nice to see you, Patrick. Did you have a nice vacation?
Yes, I did. It was good to get away and relax for a while, you know?
Oh yeah, I get that. I'm glad you got to recharge. I have to admit, I'm a little bit jealous. I often feel stressed as well, and I would love to go on vacation. But I'm worried to leave Mum alone.
I totally understand that. Maybe we can find a way that you don't have to worry so much, and we'll see what we can do.
I would really appreciate that. I feel that I'm doing the main share of taking care of Mum. And I know and understand that you live further away, but could we find a way for you to help out more?
Well, you know what? I can't come every day, right? But
you
I could
not. No, of
no,
course not.
It's
yeah.
impossible. But I could come once or twice a week. And what do you think of asking her neighbor to check on her as well?
Oh, that's a good idea, and I really appreciate that. Thank you for understanding and. Thank you for wanting to help out more.
Yeah, and then you finally can go on holiday, on the holiday you deserve.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you.
Okay.
So what you just heard was, of course, a simplified example of a usually longer or more drawn out conversation or several conversations, so that we could demonstrate some key elements or commitments that somebody who interacts this way has made. So in order to create either meaningful, authentic, and intimate personal relationships, or trusting, mutually beneficial professional relationships, we may need to make certain commitments to each other. And based on those commitments, we can then create what we call a trust circle.
Now, this is a circle that you voluntarily enter in order to create that good exchange and good relationship. And there are some ingredients or some principle or some chart, I would say a charter, that you commit to, that you want to respect.
Yeah.
And remember.
And what's really important is that this trust circle is a safe environment for all participants. That I really love that focus on safe. How can I make the other person feel safe? So let's explain those five commitments.
And that's time to take note.
Well, right? Yeah, if somebody wants to take notes, of course they could do that now. All right, so do you want to explain the first principle? The first principle is?
You know, if you really want to be able to learn from one another, humility is the first principle, or the first ingredient of creating that trust relation, trust circle. But we need to define maybe a little bit that term. So it's not modesty or weakness that we want to think of here, but we see humility as an antidote to ego. It's really the opposite of being self-centered or closed-minded. It means the willingness to not have your guard up as you enter the interaction, and because it allows us to be vulnerable and to trust the best intention of the other person. Obviously, you won't get hurt, but if you know that the other person has the same understanding of what needs to be done here, come humility, then it can become easier. Open listening and being willing to understand and learn about the other person is also part of humility. It allows that to happen. Successful interactions are about creating a win-win situation instead of wanting to be right. We always want to be right, right? Right?
Yes.
We have to let go of that need to be right and understand that we can always learn something from the other person. And this can only take place if humility is present in the interaction.
Right. Win-win situation and letting go of wanting to be right. I love that. It actually reminds me of a Rumi poem that I find truly beautiful. It goes, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there.
And that's a wonderful poem. And you know, this is really the idea of the trust circle, to meet there in the middle.
So our second commitment is taking responsibility. I wonder if you've ever said, you make me feel, or because of you I feel, or to a child, mommy feels this or that way because of you, because you did this or that. And at some point...
And blaming each other because of... Right?
Yeah, making someone else responsible for our feelings. Mm, right. And however, nobody makes us feel a certain way. Other people, that could be our colleagues, our friends, our family members, and especially our intimate partner, they're especially good at this,
yes,
trigger certain feelings in us. They activate certain feelings in us. But the responsibility for experiencing these feelings lies with us. So nobody makes us feel a certain way. However, it's like we have buttons on us that you can push and then trigger a certain feeling. But what we feel depends on how we interpret what the other person says or does. It depends on the meaning we give something based on our life experiences. That means our learned beliefs, our emotional triggers, our prejudices. our filters that we have developed. So to illustrate this idea of our learned beliefs and filters a bit more, I want to tell you about an experiment. And it's actually an experiment I've done in a school setting with teenagers. It's quite eye-opening. So imagine you have three buckets of water in front of you. The bucket on the left contains cold water, the bucket on the right hot water, and in the middle bucket there's room temperature water. So you're gonna plunge your left hand into the bucket with the cold water, and at the same time you put your right hand into the bucket with the hot water. And you leave your hands in the buckets for a couple of minutes. Then you pull them out and you put them both in the middle bucket. So now the left hand came from the cold water. How does the water in the middle feel to your left hand?
Hot.
Right. However, you didn't even give our audience a moment to think about this. But let's think about the right hand here. The right hand came from the hot water, so the water in the middle appears to be
cold.
Right.
Okay, give it a little more time now, right?
So you could say that at the level of the buckets, the hands are having an argument. Is the water hot? Is it cold? You're right. You're wrong. I'm right. Yeah. The buckets represent our conditioning, the experiences we have had, and the beliefs we have learned. We all come from a specific bucket and we have a different perception as we come together with others in the same reality in the middle bucket. So when we remember that everybody comes from their own bucket of experiences, then it's so much easier for us to have true compassion for how others experience life and how they respond to it. So instead of insisting that we're right and what they're doing is wrong, we can see things as relative to our buckets.
And you know, to be typically reactive to things, right? Instead of being reactive to, okay, that person comes from that experience. Now I understand why she or he is doing this and that, right? So I love your experience, your explanation with the buckets.
Right. So we can be really curious about the other person's bucket.
Mm. Right.
Right.
Very important.
Okay.
Now,
principle number three.
The third commitment or principle, which is trust. Well, we have to trust each other, obviously, that both of us are really we need to assume, basically, that the other person has the best intention, right? We're not coming in that circle to destroy each other. We're coming into it because we have the best intention to find a way to communicate. And that's it intent, and that the person doesn't deliberately want to hurt us and we don't want to do the same. So we simply do our best. And as you mentioned before, sometimes doing our best generates some behavior that might trigger, like the eyes, how do you say that?
When you roll your eyes.
Roll your eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the voice, tone of voice.
We'll talk more about that later, yeah.
Yes. That we, you know, it can trigger some feelings in us and some reaction that are due to our past experience, our bucket. So we have to understand that the person who is coming in the circle is an ally and not an enemy. And that makes a whole difference. So being that feel of trust, that field of trust.
Right. Okay. So principle number four is love. And that might sound a little airy-fairy, but it actually isn't. It's quite scientific. Because love can become the umbrella for every interaction. Love is the highest form of energy and frequency in the universe. And sometimes that energy might be subtle.
But always super powerful. You know, it doesn't know borders, no race, no religion, or any form of prejudice. And it also doesn't even know distance. Because, you know, did you have this example of like somebody that you think of who maybe is traveling and far away, and
send
then
them
you
loving
think
energy.
Of them,
yeah.
You think of them, or you send love energy, and all of a sudden they call you, or,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really amazing, and it travels faster than light. Well, it's also in abundance in every one of us. So we can tap into it anytime and we can share it as much as we want because it's in abundance. And you know, animals are very sensitive to our feelings too, as well as plants and obviously people. So they can feel it even from a distance. I have experienced that with plants and with animals. You know, when you have an animal that can be aggressive, you send love, and then it really calms down. It makes a difference.
Yeah, Patrick really has a green thumb. His plants are beautiful.
Thank you. Yes, I give them love all the time.
You speak to them, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so if you speak lovingly to a plant, well, you will really see and the difference. Like if you ignore your plant or plants or even you can do all kinds of tests, you know. Example, you said you also did some tests. What was
right,
it?
Right. You were talking about rice, right, and water.
Yes.
Maybe you want to explain in a moment. And I've done tests with sending love energy to a glass of wine, or to a citrus fruit, like a lemon that you cut into half. You put one half somewhere at the other end of a room, and then you send love to the other half, and the taste completely changes. You can taste a difference because it really brings out their natural essence, and the same with a glass of wine. Or you can do this with all sorts of things. I actually, on a regular basis, send loving energy to my food and my water that I drink.
Actually, if you do that before you eat, you put your hand over the food and you send it love. You know these blessings, right, that is taught in religions. They have a reason to be there. But if you just do simply putting your hand on your food before you eat and you send it love, you will digest better.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
It's a proven fact. So basically, what is important is when you enter that circle that you put your trust glass, your love glasses.
Yeah.
Your love lenses, so to speak.
Yeah.
Instead of approaching it with, you know, defensiveness or fear or need to be right. We definitely need to connect from a loving heart space with the other one. So that means remembering that the positive intention have to be there. And that you trust your circle participant have as well.
Right. And then we've got one more commitment or principle, number 5, and that is balanced communication. So some of us are more comfortable communicating and others not so comfortable or not able to communicate as well. And that might sometimes have something to do with being an introvert or an extrovert, but not necessarily. I have often found throughout my life that I'm more comfortable than most of my partners to talk about thoughts and feelings and also faster at processing them. And I had to learn to give my partner time and space to do the same. Not always easy.
Yes, I agree with you. I'm the same as you. I can talk easily, and I have partners, my present partner actually, who doesn't have that ease. Because not used to express feelings. You know?
Right. It's all what we've learned or haven't learned.
Yes.
So it's important to understand the dynamic we have in such a circle. So as the partner who tends to dominate the verbal interaction, we need to support the other one by listening more or asking more questions. Having said that, that means as long as the questions come from a place of honest curiosity, open curiosity, and from a patient place. So it's not an interrogation. We have to be careful with questions. Questions can come across as the wrong way as well. So that is the partner who tends to talk more, needs to listen more. And the partner who's hesitant to communicate can also learn to open up more. The more especially that they feel safe in an interaction.
As because we are in that trust circle, so they can
absolutely
open up.
So learning to trust ourselves and each other to express what we have even on our mind or in our heart. And that's where we need to be aware of our typical behaviors and support each other. So mutual learning. We want to allow for equal time to express our thoughts and feelings. So before you come out of that trust circle, you might want to make sure to ask the other person, did you have a chance to say everything you wanted to say? Is there something else you want to share? Or do you feel complete?
I do.
You do right now?
Yes.
Okay. So we're also, that completes our five principles. Once we've made these five commitments, humility,
responsibility,
trust,
love,
and balanced communication, we're more aware. So we need to remember that everybody comes with their own story, from their own personal experiences, and this requires that we adjust our responses and behaviors. We need to really approach each other with an open mind and with empathy. Let's talk about empathy.
Oh, yes. Such an important word, because you know what it means. Maybe there is a difference between empathy and sympathy. So empathy means being able to understand and feel how the other person thinks and feel. Empathy fosters the broader perspective. It helps to really understand more dimensions of the other person. And also, instead of taking what the other person says and does personally, like taking personally, that doesn't help. We need to remember and understand that everybody has their own fears and own perceptions.
Yeah. And you briefly touched on the difference between sympathy and empathy. So for me, sympathy says, and that's, I got that from Brené Brown, sympathy is poor you, I feel for you, maybe I cry with you. I'm not necessarily having your experience, but I feel sorry for you. Now, empathy, on the other hand, you disagree a little bit? Okay, we can talk about it.
No, not disagree. I just want to add.
Right, okay.
That, like you said, you're crying. You're emotionally involved. That means you are going down, like you said before, in the well of the emotion.
Right,
of the other
when we talked about this earlier, before we started this podcast, we were talking about a person has fallen down into the well. I like my metaphors. And instead of jumping down with them, we are actually able to be empathetic at the top and maybe throw down the rope so that they can climb up.
That's a very good example. I like it.
Right. Because empathy, as opposed to sympathy, is saying, I feel with you. So having that experience of the common humanity, but at the same time from a place where we can be actually helpful. And you might wonder how you can be empathetic with somebody who has an experience you've never had. But we can. We don't need to have gone through the exact same situation. For example, in a partnership, I don't need to have the same childhood experiences as my partner. But to know what it feels like is where I'm connecting, right? Empathy is not about connecting to a specific experience, but about connecting to the emotions and experience triggers. So let's say my partner has an experience of abandonment. I will not have the same experience, but the feeling of abandonment is something I can connect to.
Mm-hmm. And then this is where you become creative and say, well, what can I do to help? Okay, think always in a rational perspective, understand the feelings. Okay, she or he feels abandoned. How can I show that everything is okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. How can I relieve that experience of abandonment?
Yes.
Or that pattern that they have?
That's right.
All right, so now that we've outlined the five principles, we would like to give you a professional example. There's going to be a professional interaction and how it unfolds differently whether we create a trust circle or not. And for this, I'm going to be Patrick's boss.
And what a boss she is.
Right. We actually did this at a talk the other day where we were video recorded. So that was fun because we could also use the body language to show this. Unfortunately, in this podcast, all you get are the words and the tone of voice, and you have to imagine the body language. All right, ready?
Yep.
Patrick, I just had a meeting with our new client, and I need you to do research on this area. And I need this report on my desk by Monday. Can I count on you?
Sure. Right.
So Patrick is really dragging here. Rolling his eyes behind my back.
Because she doesn't have eye contact. She's tapping on her pad And she's just ordering me around. And you know how much I like that.
So the boss in our example didn't give Patrick a voice. She's a driver, which is just a personality thing. So she's concerned about moving forward. She feels pressure to produce. But even though it's a bit her personality to be this way, this interaction can sound totally different when she allows herself to go into a trust circle with Patrick. And we're going to do that next, right?
Yes.
All right. Hi, Patrick. How are you doing today?
Hi, Angelica. Good, thanks.
I had a meeting with our new client.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he had a high interest in purchasing that building that we talked about.
Mm.
What do you think would add value for them to move forward?
Oh, thanks for asking. Well, you know what? Maybe I could do some research on this area. How urgent is it?
Oh, unfortunately, quite urgent. I need it as soon as possible.
Oh, I see. Well, let me think. Maybe I can take, it's Friday already, so I can take some time on Saturday to put this report together. Would that work?
Oh, that's fantastic. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Patrick. And if you need any help, just give me a ring.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
So as you could see, an interaction unfolds completely differently when we create a circle of trust.
And she was engaging with me, like she had eye contact, she was like trying to listen to me, so I felt very different.
Right. So that is a communication with openness and respect. And that respect and openness is not only reflected in our choice of words, but also in our tone of voice and in our body language. And you might have heard that verbal communication is only between 7 to 20%. It depends on the study that you read. Some say 7%, some say 10%. Other studies say up to 20%. But the point is that the other 80 to 93% of communication is non-verbal. That means body language and tone of voice are highly important. Because we're constantly scanning others in regards to non-verbal expressions. And especially when we already feel vulnerable, we feel defensive, we feel stressed or emotionally activated. So an expression like an eye roll or a sigh, a raised tone of voice, can trigger us into fight or flight mode. And especially if that corresponds with childhood experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody, you were mentioning this earlier, rolls their eyes at me and I'm maybe carrying the pattern that I'm a burden, that feeling space of being a burden will immediately be triggered by those rolled eyes. Or the raised tone of voice is a good example because that triggers lots of people. And especially if I've grown up with maybe a caretaker that was loud or angry,
yeah.
That triggers again that vulnerability from childhood
and from
feeling of danger.
That's right. And from the other person who is expressing loudly, that person might just be passionate and just love to express, but it may not be received the same way. And it's important to express how you feel when something like that happened, you know. And I had the case of a partner who just loved to speak loud, and I said to her, I understand how you are, I understand you're passionate, but it really was getting me little by little, because I didn't take it personally at first. But as it, with time, you know, going on, I could feel that it was triggering stuff in me. And so by expressing that, your partner can take that in account and make an effort, and you make an effort not to take it personally. So your partner an effort to maybe calm down the voice, and then you to not take it too personally. Yeah. Does it make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And something else might be going on with that as well. Sometimes people get louder or angrier when they don't feel heard.
That's right. Oh, right? There are many things.
Right. So, you know, this is about exploring this a little bit more without judgment and just going, okay, what's going on here?
Yeah,
and
totally.
How can we change that?
And to add on this complexity of the relationship, you know, another observation can be made. When two people are communicating, then one person might allow more rational, having and more rational,
more emotional, yeah.
And versus more emotional. So rational meaning, you know, analyzing things with fact oriented,
mm-hmm.
and not engaging emotionally. And the other person being more emotional just refers to feelings and feel things and just cannot think rationally because she or he is totally into that feeling mode. And so when these two people meet, it's really difficult to connect. So it's important to realize the typical behavior of one or another and to communicate and say, okay, well, I understand that you feel that way. Because I know, and in some situation, if we're too rational and the other one is too emotional, it's just no communication possible. So you need to realize, okay, my partner is really fact-oriented, my partner is really emotionally oriented, I need to adapt my speech accordingly.
Right.
And I need to choose the right words accordingly.
And it happens in general that when two people come together, one tends to be more rational, the other one tends to be more emotional, and then within the relationship we polarize more and more into those opposites,
mm-hmm.
because we get lost into, well, this is my way, this is how I am, this is the right way of being,
mm-hmm.
instead of realizing that the other person actually has something that you need.
Yes.
That other piece.
Yeah, and then so when we are in that space of being overwhelmed by these emotions, you know, what is important is to meet at the middle, you know, to really connect and understand, okay, well, I'm going to go more into my emotion and the other one I'm going to go in my rational. And sometimes we are so triggered that we are emotionally activated, and we can call it also emotionally hijacked. Mm-hmm. That means you just cannot think straight, you know. At that time, there's a lot of chemical that are overflowing in our body. And if you want to be able to have rational thought again, you need a minimum of 20 to 30 minute break, minimum, sometimes 40 minutes easily, to just calm down, calm the nervous system, calm the interaction. So take a break in that time, yeah, because the alarm is on, you know, basically. So calm down, and the way you can do that is, for example, breathing techniques. So breathing techniques are so powerful and very important.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you are triggered, you don't feel like you want to breathe. You're just like so ready to fight, right? Or flight. So, but take the time to breathe during this 20 to 30 minutes time. Move your body so the blood can circulate. Then the geography can change. Connect with nature, ground yourself on the ground if you can. Drink water, because then you flow, you can at least go to the washroom and flush all these chemicals. You know, typical chemicals are cortisol, peptide. It's a bunch of chemicals that are there. The heart rate increases as well because it pumps the blood into the muscles in order to help you to get ready to fight, flight, or freeze. So try to do anything you can. And one of the powerful techniques that I suggest as well is laughing. And
yes.
Laughing about ourselves and about the situation, about what's going on. If you can do that, wow, you're a winner.
Yeah.
Not always easy, but
absolutely. We might have to point out that that's not always easy, but something to strive toward. So, these techniques that you mentioned are definitely the most important ones. But there might be other things, too, that are relaxing and calming to an individual that might be a good activity during this timeout, during this break. And we need to encourage our partner to take those breaks. We need to encourage each other because we're interdependent. Or in other words, we're in each other's care and we depend on each other. And what is good for my partner is also good for me. And that in turn is good for the relationship, which is like a third entity. And you're going to elaborate on that a little bit more in a moment, right? So relationships are teamwork. We co-create harmonious and supportive relationships.
Yes. So, you know, as you mentioned, we are, first you have to start, we are one entity. Your partner is one entity. And we are co-creating a third entity called the one relationship. And this all from our individual life experience and baggages. So we only want to bring the best into the one relationship, that one relationship, right? And we feel that if we are dragging something from the past into it, we need to just have the courage to mention it or to be aware of it or to ask for help even. If you see, okay, you cannot get rid of it, then ask for help. Say, yeah, you know, in the past, I remember, yeah, my ex-husband used to do that or my ex-wife used to do that. And so it keeps coming back.
And it usually goes way beyond the ex-husband and ex-wife. Right, absolutely. Right? It goes all the way back to childhood.
Totally. Mm-hmm. So this requires courage and practice. So another good way to improve on this situation is to do a debriefing, you know. Speak about what went well and also what can be improved on. So when you debrief, focus on, practice this 80-20 rule. You know, you ever heard of that? So when you communicate, speak about what went well, the positive affirmation that would give positive feedback 80% of the time, and 20% of the time about what can be improved on.
Right, yeah. No, I love positive affirmations. It's actually one of my love languages, the language of affirmations. So communicating that positive totally motivates our partner, but that's not the only thing. It also shifts our own focus to everything that we love, like, and appreciate about the other person. That has a double benefit because appreciation allows us to view each other with an open heart. So to summarize, because we're coming here to the end of our podcast, by being in this open heart space, by entering into a trust circle and remembering the five commitments while we're in the trust circle.
Humility.
Responsibility.
Trust.
Love.
And balanced communication.
We can then continue to connect and grow in all our relationships every day. And as we're talking about appreciation and teamwork, I very much appreciate you, Patrick. And
Me too, Angelica. Thank you so much for doing that with me. I find it very interesting, and it makes it
inspiring, isn't it? Yes, and hopefully we've inspired the audience here as well. Because I appreciate so much of who you are and how you show up in this world and all you know and can bring to the table.
Likewise.
Right. From that place of appreciation and excitement, for everything that we have to offer, right? We invite our audience, our listeners, to join us for one of our next workshops, and that could be either in Ontario,
BC,
where Patrick is just moving to,
Europe,
or Asia, or in the future also online.
Now, what is important, of course, to understand that these workshops, we are going more in depth, right? We're going to really dissect and understand how it works and give you valuable tools that you can use on an everyday, in an everyday life and with any form of partnership or relationship that you have.
Right. And these workshops are very experimental. So right. It's not just learning a certain theory, but to actually practicing with different exercises, practicing with others, and embodying that learning.
And fun.
Yeah, fun and laughter, absolutely. So we're planning a workshop for Valentine's Day 2019, a location to be announced.
A little bit before Valentine. So right. you're yes. ready.
Yes. So we will continue to bring you podcasts and videos until then. So you can check out our websites as well for further information about both of us. Do you want to give your website?
Yes. So my website is peakpotentialinternational.com, peakpotentialinternational.com. My phone number is 416-919-8466, 416-919-8466. And you can reach me also by email, patrick@peakpotentialinternational.com.
And I will put all that information into the episode notes as well. But here's my website, just so you know. That's greendoorrelaxation.net. So green like the color green, door like the door you walk through, relaxation.net. My phone number, 905-286-9466. That is a North American phone number, a Canadian one. My email is greendoorrelaxation@yahoo.ca. I will also include a little summary in the episode notes about the five principles and commitments, so that if anybody has the desire to read through it again, they can. And we look forward to seeing you at one of our workshops. And that could mean either by yourself, right, or with a partner or a friend.
Yes.
We always give friend specials if you want to come with somebody or a family member. And yeah, we're also very happy for any comment on this podcast. And if you're like me and you need a teenage son or daughter to help you with technology, you might appreciate that there's actually a page on my website that explains how to leave a review of the podcast channel on your phone. So, Patrick, I feel so blessed that we got to do this podcast together.
Yes, indeed.
And I'm truly excited about our workshops.
Me too. And, you know, our wish is really for you to experience a relationship journey as you growth. And joy in growth and joy, and just it's a journey, it's not a destination. A relationship is always in movement.
Beautiful said.
So
yes,
we're looking forward to spend some time with you in relationship, and wish you a fantastic rest of the day or night.
All right, thank you, until next time.